Hey there, everyone. This is Ray Higdon, and I am excited to have another just awesome interview. Pretty cool how this all came about. I was out in San Diego with one of my coaches, and she came in with this book with a white cover, and it had all these things sticking out of it. It had like bookmarks. It had, you know, pink little tabs, yellow tabs, green tabs, pen marks. I mean, it looked like, you know, it was just a kindergartner had gone through it and glittered it and bedazzled it, and it was looking kind of crazy. And she said, "You gotta get this book." And the book was The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And so, hey, I listened to my coaches, got the book, read it in 2 days, and I haven't verified this by actually like counting or anything. But from all of the books in my iBooks library and my Kindle bookshelf, whatever you call it, I believe this has more highlights in it than any other book I possess, which is kind of unique because, you know, it's not a humongous tome. And so wrote a little review about it, put it on my blog, which has helped me connect with the author himself. And I am so excited to be interviewing and to have on the line Steve Pressfield. Steve, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Ray. Thanks for the great shout out. I appreciate
it. Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for what you do for the world and the message that you're bringing out there, and just the, I guess I would call it, just from looking at some of your other works, just a level of excellence. That's what I kind of identify you with, is you have a level of excellence that is just awesome. It's really awesome. So I appreciate you having taking the time out to be on here.
Okay, my pleasure.
Awesome. I'll tell you a real quick story before I ask you a few questions. I read your book, and that night, my wife, we were watching a movie, and we put on the movie 300, you know, which is the Spartans, right? And so I'm watching that. I'm like, you know, I wonder what the real story is. And so I started Googling. I'm like, hey, what's the real story of, you know, the battle of Thermopylae, however you pronounce
Thermopylae.
It.
Thermopylae.
And there was a comment. The second result of whatever I typed in said, oh, you got to go get Gates of Fire. And then I look. I'm like, no way. You wrote Gates of Fire. I'm like, that's so weird. What a weird coincidence. Two very different books. You wrote them.
You,
so I thought that was
Ray,
pretty neat.
Had you heard of Gates of Fire before then, or was it new to you just
time? I'll be honest, and please, you know, humblest apologies. I had never heard of anything but you until my coach introduced me to The War of Art. So my introduction to you was The War of Art. I'd never heard of any of those other books.
Okay.
And, so it's just funny, just a funny coincidence. So War of Art, I love this book. I really, really do. And I, you know, again, I've highlighted so many passages, and I believe that every single person that is serious about their craft, whether it is an artist, whether it is a, small business owner, whether it is a blogger or a marketer or whatever. I think every single person that is serious about whatever craft that they're in needs to read your book, needs to have it by their side, and maybe read a passage every single morning. What motivated you to go in that route to write The War of Art?
Well, it's I discovered as a writer who's been kind of doing this in the trenches for many, many years that the main thing I was dealing with in terms of struggle was not the writing, but sitting down to do the writing. And and I sort of gave a name in my head to this negative force, and I called it resistance with a capital R, because that's what it felt like to me, like it was resisting my attempt to do the work. And I never had read anything about this in other books. Nobody, you know, had named this force. And what would happen from time to time is, when you're a working writer, friends will kind of say to you, oh, I've got a novel in me, blah, 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 right? So I wound
Right.
up spending many nights, too many nights, till like 2 in the morning, talking to friends and trying to kind of psych them up. You know, you can do it, get out there, blah, 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 right? And I, and in talking like of that, I sort of formulated my own real, my thoughts. And finally, I just said, I'm tired of talking to people about this because nobody ever listens to me anyway. So I thought, I'm just going to put this down in a book. And so that was the genesis of the War of Art. It just kind of, I did it, wrote it in about 2 months, and it, you know, it's sort of, it's been, it came out like 10 years ago, and it's kind of had its own life, and it kind of keeps selling more and more every year.
I mean, it's just incredible. It's just because there's things that you say in there that in reading, I have an instant agreement with, but I could have never thought of those words. So it's just the way you expressed the exactness of resistance, of the critic, of, you know, doing the work, of, you know, turning pro, that whole, just the way you were, it's just really, really powerful. And it's just so awesome. I have a little passage here, and I just wanted to ask you about this. I loved it, you know, when I read this, but it says, the professional learns to recognize envy-driven criticism and to take it for what it is, the supreme compliment. The critic hates most that which he would have done himself if he had the guts. And it's funny because I do a lot of you know, marketing on Facebook, on YouTube, and, you know, different social medias, and there's always the voice out there, right?
Right.
There's always a voice out there of,
right,
you know,
snarky,
just snark, nasty,
yeah,
offhand, you know, and it's funny because I when I see that stuff, I kind of chuckle inside, and other people will say, oh my God, I can't believe they said that, and some people would take offense for me, for the comment, and I just,
right,
kind of chuckle inside, and it, just the way that you worded that, and let me ask you this. I mean, is that just the case in every profession? Is it just when you become, you know, when you turn professional, when you do go that route, is that just the way it is? Are you going to get that no matter what?
I do think it's the way it is. And, you know, if you look at reviews on Amazon.com, where,
mm-hmm,
they have the, you know, the,
sure,
1 star, 2, there are five, up to 5 stars, right? You can,
right,
look at any wonderful book. Pick a book like To Kill a Mockingbird or something like that. Right?
Right, right.
And if you look down the reviews, you'll find there are a lot of one, not a lot, but there's maybe 10% 1 star reviews. And you say to yourself, Kill a Mockingbird, you might fault it for this or that or the other thing, but there's no way it's 1 star, right?
A one, right.
So, right, there's no way. It comes from somebody who is just envious. And in fact, I have a blog and I write a weekly Wednesday post that's sort of like an ongoing chapter in the War of Art. And I just did one, did a couple of them actually a few weeks ago about a thing called the principle and the profile. Have you ever heard this phrase, Ray?
I haven't, and I definitely want to check out your blog. So before you're done, let's
really quick,
share with us how
really
we can
quick,
get that.
I'll do this real quickly because it's really interesting. A friend of mine used to work for a really big celebrity. I won't say who the name, but
okay.
The celebrity would get stalkers and snarky people and, you know, everything you can imagine. And there's in the kind of security business, like the bodyguard business, there's a concept called the principal and the profile. And the principal is, like, in this case, the celebrity. And the profile,
mm-hmm,
is a snarky person who sort of attaches themselves in kind of jealousy / envy / hatred to this person. So that,
sure,
if you want to think about John Lennon and the guy that shot him,
right,
that's a classic case. So in any event, not to belabor this point, but when you or I or anybody starts doing our real work, we will attract inevitably haters and people who are jealous. And the reason is that they know in their own heart that they should be doing their work. And because they're not, unconsciously, they'll sort of attach themselves negatively towards somebody who is. I don't know if you saw
right.
the movie The Fighter, starring Mark Wahlberg.
I'm trying to remember. I know that I've seen it. I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah.
From
yeah.
Ago. David O. Russell,
you know that movie.
Director. It's exactly about this subject. But I'll say no
right.
more. Let's move on. We don't want to talk about this for the whole time.
No, it's powerful. I mean, just so powerful. And I think what I've found is comer uppers, or I don't want to say wannabes because that's got a negative connotation, but people starting their journey toward, you know, a big goal or having success in their craft, I think may have the misconception of, if I do good work, everyone will love me. And you kind of confirm that may not be the case, even if you're To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
One thing you talked about, and I'd love to ask you this, talked about hierarchy versus territory. And it's a concept, yet another concept I've never heard, you know, voiced in that manner. And hierarchy meaning you attach yourself to, you know, the recognition or the rating or the, you know, opinion of others, and territory is you kind of own your domain and you rock your domain, whatever that domain may be. And I read that, and your example was, hey, if everyone else in the world was gone, Arnold would still go to the gym. And
right.
and that makes sense. I agree with that. And so I thought to myself, you know, I have my work that, you know, I get up, I do my routine, do my work, but I ask I feel I own it, but I ask myself, okay, if the world really wasn't anyone else, would I still do that work? I like my work. So is there a distinction there? Is routine different than territory? Because I'm not negative about my routine. I want to do my routine. It's built in. I get a nervous twitch if I don't do my routine. Is that just because I've built a habit, or is that somehow associated with territory?
That's a really good question right now. I think there's a difference between one's routine, if I'm understanding you correctly, and one's
mm-hmm.
territory. For instance,
okay.
this morning for me, I do my routine, which is go to the gym, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which are, I'm trying to do sort of positive, what my friend Randy Wallace calls little successes, kind of little
mm-hmm.
successes at the start of the day. But then when I sit down to write, which I'll be doing as soon as we finish this interview, that's my territory. So the territory is kind of part of the routine. And I think, you know, if I was the last person on earth, even if I knew that nobody was ever going to read anything that I was going to do, I would still do it.
That's awesome.
That's crazy. But, you know, first of all, we're not going to be the last person on earth anyway.
Right.
right.
But you'll never have to prove that.
The point of that really is, are you doing what you do because you're craving the good opinion of others? Or that would be a hierarchical orientation.
Mm.
Or are you doing what you do because it feeds your own soul? Because it's your calling. It's what you were meant to do. And that's the territorial orientation, as I call it. And to me, if you're
Love
an
it.
Artist or an entrepreneur, if you want to stay sane, you have to have a territorial orientation. You have to kind of
Very well
the
said.
Idea of, I'm doing this to win an Oscar, and to say, I'm doing this because I love it, you know, and because it pays me back in the moment.
Very, very powerful. Well said. That helps clear it up for me. I definitely appreciate that. You know, we'll end it on, there's a quote by Wayne Dyer that I really dig, and it is, don't die with your music inside you. And I just, I've always liked that quote. And one thing that you say is, creative work is not a selfish act or a bid for attention on the part of the actor. It's a gift to the world and ever being in it. Don't cheat us of your contribution. Give us what you've got. Love that. Very powerful. What kind of advice can you give to the person listening to this that knows that they have greatness inside them? They know that they have a gift to bring to the world, but they've just been unable to do it. You know, what any kind of advice for that person that they have this yearning, but something just hasn't clicked for them yet? Is there any kind of advice there?
Well, kind of the theory of resistance is that the more important a calling is to our, to ourselves, to our soul, the more resistance we'll feel to it. In other words, if we're going to do, and this is in the war of art, right? If we're going to, if we're drawn to, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, that's a piece of cake. That's easy, right? But if we're going to try to,
because there's no big calling,
because it's not a calling, it's a distraction.
Right.
But if we're trying to write the great American novel or a great American movie or whatever it is, then we're going to feel immense resistance to that. So, and in fact, I sort of sometimes guide myself to know what to do by just sort of asking myself, what am I most afraid of? You know, what
nice.
Do I feel the most resistance to? And then I'll do that. And so I would say to the person that's struggling like that, if you do feel a tremendous resistance to something that you know you ought to do and you want to do, you're not alone. That's just the way the world works. And so, and there is, I don't think, any magic highway. There's no magic bullet. It's an act of will that where you just kind of force yourself to do it and train yourself, get into the habit, just like you would train for a marathon. And the bottom line, like what Wayne Dyer said, dying with your song unsung, that's a pretty sad fate. And,
right.
of course, what happens is you don't just sort of die. What happens is you get into bad habits, you know, and you kill yourself.
Right.
Now, there's ones in Joseph Campbell, when he talks about the hero's journey, there's a subdivision of that called the refusal of the call. Have you ever heard of this one, Ray?
Well, I haven't. I already like it.
The call in Joseph Campbell's lexicon is that thing that we feel in our hearts, like, I need to do this, right? If we're Luke Skywalker on the planet that's farthest from the galaxy, his call was to be a Jedi Knight, right?
Sure.
So, and then in that hero's journey, there are stories where a person refuses the call. And that is what Wayne Dyer would say, dying with your song unsung.
Sure.
And the reason someone refuses a call is that resistance overpowers them. Their own fear, their own self-sabotage, whatever. So the answer is, don't refuse the call. Find the courage and do it.
Nice.
And that's it.
Man, so awesome. I mean, I know you have a very busy schedule. I could just sit around and talk with you all day long. I really appreciate you. How can people get on your blog or whatever else you'd like them to check out?
Yeah, just Google my name, Stephen Pressfield, Stephen with a V, and the blog will come up. And I want to recommend three books, if you'll forgive me here.
Please.
Two of them are mine. One is a follow-up to The War of Art called Turning Pro.
Yes.
And there's another one called Do the Work. And they're all sort of in the same genre. You can only get Do the Work on Amazon. It's one of those crazy books. And then there's another book, and this might be right up the alley of your clientele, Ray. It's by a guy named Nick Murray, and it's called The Game of Numbers. And you might have to go to nickmurray.com. He's actually a friend of mine. This is about... He is actually a coach of financial advisors. And this is, if you know anything about financial advisors, they have to do cold calling, prospecting.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, if there's anything that brings up resistance with a capital R, that is
for sure.
Right? What could be harder than that? And Nick has a really interesting philosophy that I think it's really helpful to me, and I think it'll be really helpful to anybody. So that's Nick Murray, The Game of Numbers.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. And I have Turning Pro. I have Do the Work. got Gates of Fire as well. So I have some reading to do.
Okay.
I was just so enamored by the war of art.
Punishment.
What's that?
I said you're a glutton for punishment, Ray.
That's right. Well, I really appreciate you taking time out and let you get back to your your writing, my friend.
Thanks for the really
good question. Make sure, guys, if you're listening to this, get on and check out his work. And I'm telling you, I highly, highly recommend it. Thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Okay, thanks, Ray. Take care.
You got it. All right, everybody. So you can check this out. Share this around. Comment below if you really dug this interview. This is definitely one of the best I've ever done. And we're just so fired up. Till the next one. Bye, guys.